He's a play-by-play voice for ESPN and the Pac-12 Network. You can also catch him on Aaron Rodgers' Instagram page. It's Roxy Bernstein with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Bernstein, be honest, did you go up to Aaron Rodgers at Game 5, or did he come up to you?
Initially, I went up to Aaron because I hadn't seen him in a little while, but he was the one, Joe, that wanted that picture with Adam Duritz, me, and him. And we grabbed it courtside. My phone started blowing up when I guess they showed him on SportsCenter, and I just happened to be talking to him at the time.
So let me get this straight. He comes up to you and says, Adam, Alan, got to have a picture with you guys. Let's huddle up. All our names start with the letter A, after all. And it goes from there?
You know what's funny, Divs, is the one guy that Aaron was infatuated with, that he had, the one person in the entire arena he wanted to get a picture with, was Brian Windhorst, believe it or not.
No way.
Oh, really?
It was. Aaron's like, I'm like, right now I'm in the presence of greatness. Brian Windhorst is over there.
Wow, that's
Rodgers is just full of it, isn't
Brian
he?
Brian Windhorst.
Man, from Olivia Munn to Brian Windhorst. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm going to bet against the Packers this season if that's an indication of the way things are trending up there. Roxy Bernstein with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. All right, we got a lot of topics to get to. Let's start with this, the Oakland Athletics. Steven Vogt designated for assignment just a few minutes ago. Did the move surprise you?
It is pretty shocking when you think about it because of the presence that Steven Vogt is in the clubhouse, how respected he is. And he's the guy. Like, they look around at the veteran president, Steven Vogt, who has been a two-time All-Star. And so from that standpoint, it's pretty surprising. But you have to look at the big picture with the A's right now. And the message, I think, was delivered last week that there's going to be changes. When they DFA'd Trevor Plouffe and they let him go, when they made the move to bring up Matt Chapman, I think that was a signal to everybody that, all right, we're going to make some moves. We're going to shake things up. We're going to get a jolt and an infusion of some youth here and go with some of our prospects, get a look and see what they can do. Because Bruce Maxwell has accomplished pretty much all he can at AAA. It's now to see what he can do at the major league level. And I think that also helped precipitate the move. So from in the grand scheme of things, it shouldn't be all that surprising. But at the end of the day, when you DFA one of your leaders of your clubhouse, it has to make everybody kind of perk their head up a little bit and catch people off guard.
Takes the wind out of the sails quite a bit with them still mathematically very much in the picture for the second wild card, but last in the American League. Franklin Barreto currently doing some things down in the minor leagues. Is he the guy now that we have our eyes on as to when he might come up and join this new youth movement in Oakland?
It's possible. We're going to see him at some point, Div. It's just a question of when. He's still striking out a little bit too much if you talk to scouts and people down at AAA because he's not necessarily a power hitter. And I think the A's would like to see more contact from him, but he's hitting the ball well when he's making contact. He's getting on base. He's making things happen in Nashville. We will see him before the end of the year. And keep in mind, Marcus Semien's not all that far away from coming back. So the A's are going to have some decisions to make coming up as well. But Barreto is a part of that youth movement. Look, he was this centerpiece, so they made that trade with Toronto to get him, and we'll see him at some point in the near future. It's just a question of where does he fit in terms of what they're going to try to do. Is he going to be a second baseman? Will they play him at shortstop? Could they move him to the outfield? There's some options with Barreto, and that's what I think they have to figure out.
Roxy, the news coming out of San Francisco, the Giants are saying that Cueto may opt out of his contract. If this is so, what moves the Giants need to do to protect themselves, and what kind of trade value he has, and what happens from here?
Well, Lo, he'll command a decent haul back, and I know the contract situation is probably going to scare some teams because he can't opt out. He's holding all the cards. He hasn't pitched great this year. He's been okay. So, I mean, with the Giants, look, it's a lost season. We know that. We need to look toward 2018. For the Giants, and who's going to factor into the starting rotation, and how are they going to build this thing back up? And they're in a similar situation to the A's in terms of when they start winning again, who's going to be a part of the puzzle? Who's going to factor in and be key contributors? And you're going to get a lot of money off the books if you lose Cueto, so they're going to have some opportunities to make runs at free agents, and this class isn't going to be all that great in terms of free agents. It's the following class I think the Giants want to be set up for.
Roxy, some could argue that Cueto would be giving up a bit of leverage here by announcing his intentions to opt out of the deal this early. Is it possible that the reason he's doing that is to give the Giants a month head start on the trade deadline to move him because he really doesn't want to be here? As we look at the facts, he spoke earlier in the season about how he wants to finish his career in the American League, and he's also made mention of the locker room and how it's a very quiet place and he doesn't necessarily fit in with that. Do you think maybe this is Cueto sending up a signal that he wants out?
It's similar, maybe, Joe, to the Paul George situation in terms of letting the team know what my intentions are so they can plan for it. The only problem is the other teams know this. So when you go in, if you're the Giants, you're Bobby Evans and Brian Sabian, you're trying to make deals with other teams, they know they have a little bit of an edge because you have to move him at this point. It doesn't behoove you to keep him because you're going nowhere. And you're just going to eat the rest of the contract, and then he's going to opt out and leave you hanging. So I think that it gives the Giants a little bit of a disadvantage when they're trying to negotiate with teams and maybe leverage for the elite prospects, and maybe they might have to settle a little bit in terms of what they will get in return if they decide to move Cueto.
Roxy Bernstein joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Obviously, the big news around here, around the sports world, Derek Carr's contract, 5 years, $125 million. I mean, that's Roxy money, is it not?
Oh, I wish, Dibs. I wish I was riding like Derek Carr. It's great news for the Raiders that they've locked up their franchise quarterback because we know how tough these franchise quarterbacks are to come by. And there's so many teams in the NFL that would kill to have a quarterback like Carr. So it sets up the Raiders nicely for the future. They have that foundation, that piece. It's not hanging over anybody's head. It's taken care of. And now that Reggie McKenzie can focus his business on other areas, trying to lock up Mac and Cooper and trying to keep everybody else in the fold. But I think it's a win-win for everybody that this got done at the time it got done, because now Carr can just go focus in and get ready for the season and not worry about his future because it's taken care of.
Roxy Bernstein with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. NBA draft tonight. As part of your responsibilities with ESPN and the Pac-12 Network, you get to see a lot of the talent that's going to hear their names tonight from the podium. Markelle Fultz out of Washington of the Sixers. Did you see him being the game changer Philly needs at the point guard position? And again, talk about Lonzo Ball and what he'd bring to the Lakers.
Well, with Fultz, Joe, he is a point guard, but he's not necessarily the true point guard in what we view point guards. He is more of a scoring point guard than a pass-first point guard. And he will fit in. It's just a question, when you look at Philadelphia, for example, he's going there with him, with Embiid, with Simmons. There's a lot of these players that haven't accomplished much in terms of winning at the collegiate level because Embiid was pretty much hurt throughout his career. Simmons didn't make the NCAA tournament. Markelle Fultz's Washington team won 9 or 10 games last year. So there's a lot of individual talent that didn't accomplish much at the collegiate level. Let's see what happens now in the NBA with that group. And then you have Lonzo Ball stepping into the situation in L.A. We'll see how things play out over the next few years with the Lakers. But he's a player who can make players around him better. He's not a scorer. He can score, but he's a game changer in terms of not having to score, which if you have him surrounded with great talent, can make him that much better. So I think they both have nice NBA careers. The guy I'm looking for, I think that you're going to get later in the first round. He's still lottery pick, maybe in the 5 to 10 area. I'm a big Lauri Markkanen fan from Arizona. I think his game translates to the NBA, and he's set up. I think he could have big time success in the NBA.
Great call, Roxy. I think he might be the best player taken in the lottery. One more before we let you go. I know it's near and dear to your heart. Hockey talk. Brent Burns wins the Norris Trophy with a monster defensive season. Looking ahead to the Sharks, is it Thornton and Marleau and Burns again, or might you see Marleau or Thornton taking his trade elsewhere?
I think it's possible, Dibs, that we could be looking at Thornton or Marleau. I would that they're going to go somewhere else. I think that if I had to give odds on it, I think there's a better chance that Joe Thornton comes back than Patrick Marleau. But we'll see how it plays out. But Burns is definitely the central figure with Joe Pavelski and Martin Jones of how this team is going to be built. Mark Edward Vlasic. But they're set up, to be in a good spot to make the playoffs last year. And as we've seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs, all you got to do is get into the field. All you got to do is get into the playoffs, because we've seen the last team in, for example, Nashville, make the Stanley Cup final. We've seen the LA Kings as an 8th seed in the West go all the way and win the Cup. So I think that you just got to worry about getting into the postseason. And then, for example, last year they were so beat up and hurt in the playoffs for the year before, they lucked out in a great position to make a run.
Play-by-play voice for ESPN and the Pac-12 Network. Follow him on Twitter, at Roxy Bernstein. It's a great Roxy Bernstein with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Roxy, a true five-tool effort right there. You hit on everything. Thank you so much. Can't wait to do it again.
Did you call me a tool? What?
You know what? That does sound better. We'll go with that. Roxy the tool. No, all just right, kidding, boys. Roxy. Thank you so much.
See ya.